Pastor Jermaine to read the scripture this morning. It's from Romans 15.
Verses 5 and 6. You can see this Bible. Nope. Gotta use mine. No, I'm not gotta use mine. Okay. All right. It's good. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pastor G. I invite you to pray with me and for me as I begin this message. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much that you've brought us together. God, we thank you that together we can be steadfast. We can lean on one another, that we can carry one another through. God, as I give this message, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me. God, would you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, so that we might receive it. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in a sermon series on steadfast. That was a word that kind of came to me in prayer as I was thinking about all kinds of things. The Methodist Church, our church, thinking about where I am in my life as a hope to be steadfast for my family, you know, steadfast as a person. We talked about a steadfast faith, and then the week after was about our character. Are we people that can be counted on when we're needed? And last week was about presence, about really being in the moment, being there for one another. And today I want to talk about the joy, the blessing of being together, serving together, living our lives together. And something happened to me about a week and a half ago that really illustrated what I wanted to talk about this morning. And it was, I was in a neighborhood, I was going somewhere doing something, and I was not near anything that I was really familiar with, but lo and behold, there was a car that was stopped right out where it shouldn't have been, trying to get into a gas station area. You know what's going on. I figured they were out of gas. I pulled into the service station, and I was the first one there. There was a one of those newer Volkswagen Bugs. I don't know how reliable they are, but it was not running enough to get to the service station. So I said, "Ma'am, if you put it in neutral, I'll try to push." And the car's not very big, and it was a little bit uphill, so I was ready for it. And I was just about to get where I was going to push, and the lady's trying to put it in neutral. I was kind of silly to think about. And right about then, I looked over, and there was five more folks come running to the car, which was a relief to myself and the lady in the car. And so we pushed, and with all the folks pushing, it was absolutely no trouble, and it kind of fun, you know, to tell you the truth. It was like this accomplishment. We're going to get her to the gas pump. Sure enough, we got her up the hill and towards the gas pump, and that was when she let us know that she had a tank of gas already. It was already halfway filled. We didn't stop to find that out. We were just ready to help. And one of the folks that had helped out, he said, "Well, I know something about cars, man. Pop your hood." And he was looking at it, and the other guy said, "Well, I know a mechanic. I don't know if we can get it fixed." But in no time, the lady was taken care of. And she looked at us like she was looking at a bunch of angels. You know, we weren't angels. We were just there to help. And I just thought how nice it is to know that we could do something together so much better than we could do alone. I saw that same look in the faces of the home buyers when I was at Habitat for Humanity a few weeks ago. We went out to the Habitat build that we do. We have a long tradition of doing this. This is a picture that I took of us painting, and we painted with the home buyers, Eric and Vanessa, and they were taking part in that. Later on, I got to circle up in prayer with them on behalf of our church and all the folks that are building the Habitat houses. We prayed together, and we talked about the blessing of God for their family. And they have 4 children. They're all living in a 1-room apartment right now. And they're looking forward to being at this new house. The dedication is going to be in November. And the day that I was there, we were painting the outside siding, and it was same sort of deal. I think I'd probably still be there painting if I was by myself. But all the people joined in, and we got the house painted in just a few hours before lunch. And when lunch happened, I didn't have a breakfast taco on the way. We were kind of running to get there that morning. I was so hungry, and I have never been so glad to see the United Methodist men. Oh, man, Matt Martinez and Swin came with sandwiches, and I do believe they were the best sandwiches I have ever eaten. It was so good. We all sat there and broke bread together after we'd got the painting done, and it was just such a joy. We all thought, what a blessing it is to be together. So much more we could get done together than we could on our own. We're steadfast together. When we get together and we follow Jesus and we look at the way of Christ, we're inspired together, aren't we? By the way that he washed his disciples' feet, by the way that he served, he healed, he fed people, but then he looked at his disciples and he said, "You feed them. You give them something to eat." So it's one of my favorite things about church is that we're together. You know, we don't do church by ourselves. And I always wish that I'd said something after the fact, after the worship service. I always wish I would have done a better job. So I'm going to go ahead and do it today. And I want to greet all those that are watching online. You know, it's so many times I don't even remember to greet those that are watching online. If you're watching and you're joining us in worship online today, I guess the camera's probably there now. If you're watching us online, I just want you to know you're not alone. You know, we're joining you in worshiping today. It's a beautiful thing to know that we're all together, that we carry each other. And I don't know about you, but I've had times of doubt, times where I don't feel all that steadfast. One of the remedies for that, one of the best things for that is to just be around others, to be together with other people of faith. And they're singing songs and praying prayers, and I start thinking, you know, if these people all around me, they believe this? They're living this? They're trying to be rooted in this together? Well, maybe I can too. Maybe I will too. Maybe you felt the same way. Our scripture this morning is one of those that just leapt up the page when I found it. It contains that word steadfast. I wanted to look at the Greek here a little bit. It says, "May the God of endurance," that word is often translated as steadfastness, and the word is hupomeno. Everybody say hupomeno. Hupomeno. You can really dissect this word. The word, the first part, hupo, means under, and the word meno, you see this over and over again, it means to abide. Literally means to abide under. Or to carry something, and really the word has this connotation of carrying something deliberately, but also triumphantly. Like you're gonna make it. This is heavy, but you're gonna go up the hill with it. And I think of Christ carrying the cross for us when I see this word, this endurance. You're gonna make it. And encouragement. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. And by the way, the word gives in the beginning isn't really there. It should be translated, "May the God of endurance and encouragement. The word encouragement is paraklesis or parakaleo, and it means to be beside and to call out. It's like the side caller. Literally, this word carries this idea of cheering someone on. This is heavy. This is difficult. You're going to make it. I think of Rob Snyder's character in all those Adam Sandler movies, the guy in the stands. He's, you can do it! Over and over and over. That's the side caller. You know, you're moving through something difficult, and there's somebody beside you encouraging you, helping you out. And then it goes on, may the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind. That word is phroeno, which is really difficult to say. Phroeno, phroeno. What that word means is not only your mind, your intellect, your the smarts, but it also has to do with emotion and feeling. And so the word is sort of mind and emotion. I was watching a documentary on the Redeem team, the team that went to the Olympics in 2008 and ended up trying to win the gold for the U.S. in basketball, men's basketball. And they got Coach Krzyzewski, it's hard to say, Coach K from Duke. And he brought in these folks that had been wounded in service of our country. And they spoke their stories. And Coach K had them speak to the guys and to make sure that they knew what they were playing for. They took this pride in America as they heard some of these stories. And one of the basketball players said, I heard these stories of bravery and heroism from these guys, and it hit me right in my emotions, right in the emotions. I've never heard that expression before, but I think that's what this word really is about. That it's more than just your mind; it's your emotions. And I love how right here he says, "Attitude of mind." Give you the same attitude of mind. While we're talking about togetherness, you know, I think that the worst thing for togetherness, the worst thing for like kryptonite for a relationship is just a bad attitude. I've noticed this about myself, and I need a side caller to call me out when I have one, by the way. There she's sitting on the front row. Whenever I have a bad attitude about something, I'm hard to be around, and I know I'm the only one. Right? No, I'm not the only one. I know you feel the same way. When you carry in a bad attitude, it's hard for relations, it's hard for togetherness. And so can you change your attitude? Can you make that better? Can we have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had? That's one of those things to think about when you're in a situation and you're thinking, man, my attitude is awful. And you think about Jesus and his endurance, perseverance, moving forward. And think about his attitude. I mean, I'm sure he had days where he was frustrated, where he was just tired, cranky, maybe. But I think of Jesus' attitude is steadfast, you know, and moving forward, that we could have the same mindset, emotions, attitude as Christ Jesus towards one another. When we think about having the same mind, I've been thinking about steadfastness. And last week we talked about the steadfastness of a tree planted by a stream of water. I think of the cypress trees in New Braunfels that I used to love to pray under, and they're along the river rooted, and you just figure those roots grow deep, and they're connected to the source. But there's another image of a tree that I wanted to bring out this week, and I'm fascinated by this tree. It's the redwood tree, the sequoia tree in California. I've never seen them in person, but I want to go someday. And the cool thing about these trees are they grow over 200 feet tall, and they're ginormous. They're like 27 feet around, and the fascinating thing about them is their roots only go 5 or 6 feet deep. And if one of them was standing by itself, it would topple over if the wind blew. But the thing is about these trees is their roots go out over 100 feet and they get entangled with other trees. They need each other for steadfastness. And I love that image because I think that's our story as a church. Our roots grow not only deep, but they grow out. And they grow, and we grow together steadfastly, where if it was just one, we wouldn't survive. We'd get toppled over, weathering the storms. We go back and look at that verse again. It says, so that with one mind and one voice, the word for one mind is homothumadon. Can you guys say that? Homothumadon. It's a fun word to say. It sounds like a dinosaur name, the homothumadon. But what this means is literally, it's a musical term, and it means one accord. It's about notes being played at the same time, but they're different notes, and they all sound good together. It's a beautiful thing to think about. One accord. And sometimes it's, there are notes when people sing together, when people play notes together, you can, if it all sounds really, really good, and then you can sort of tell if a note's not all that good, right? And this has to do with being on one accord, playing the same note together, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we hope for, this togetherness. It's not always easy when folks disagree, when there are differences. You know, I think about the Methodist Church and how some congregations are disaffiliating, not compatible with the Methodist Church, but we're compatibilists in our very nature. You know, Wesley, he came up with that phrase, agree to disagree. That's credited to Wesley. It was a real debate he was having with a good friend. And he said, we disagree on this. We're going to have to agree to disagree because it's what we agree on is the essentials. You know, we might not be able to think alike on these things, but can we love alike? Can we be known by our love in this and to move forward in that way? I think it's important that we're together in that. That when we discern, what we're discerning is what God is calling us to do and to be in our community. How we can be the church, not caught up in discussions that don't go anywhere, but compatible with people that don't agree with us, so that we can be known by the things that unite us, that move us forward. That's the time where the church said, amen. 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 One voice, we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this image that's brought out in the Psalms over and over again, the God's people going to worship together. And they're going up a hill, they're looking forward to being together in worship, and there's this song that they would sing. It's Psalm 133, and it's how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. The psalm keeps on going. It says it's like this precious oil dripping down the beard of the priest, of Aaron. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, this beautiful dew that covers the land where God is glorified and praised. I wanted to end with something that I saw when I went on the Habitat build. I thought it was the coolest thing. We're praying. Me and Charles Harrison was there. Where's Charles? Charles was there. Charles was there. Larry Barnes there. Pretty much every time they have a Habitat build, it's so awesome to go. And we gathered around in one of the front rooms and we said a prayer and a blessing for the home. And And I thought about all the meals that would be cooked there. I thought about all the conversations and the good times that would be had. And when I went through the house, there are these unfinished doorways. You know, maybe they're finished now, but there was these doorways that were all through the house. And Vanessa, the homebuyer, she had taken the time to write scripture on each doorway. Between every there to here, all the thresholds, you know, the liminal space there between the doors. And one of them caught my eye. I took a picture, and there it is on the left. She had written, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I looked up the psalm, the address, Psalm 34, verse 8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Church, it's beautiful work to praise God, to do something together, to be together in our mission, in our lives, in our ministry, to be on one accord, to be people of encouragement and hope. I'm looking forward to all the things that are to come. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the opportunities to be together. God, there are so many things that cause us to drift away from that. But God, keep it in the forefront of our hopes. To be good listeners, to have good attitudes, to work together for a common good. God, we thank you that when we do that, we can be steadfast in ways that we could not be on our own. And God, keep us holding on and rooted with one another, so that when those storms come, we remain steadfast as a community of faith. God, would you guide us and lead us into the time to come? And we pray all these things in the strong, resurrected name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.